Israel and Egypt was going through a very hard time. They were groaning under the burden of their slavery. Because in the days of Joseph, the Pharaoh then had been quite kind to them. He had given them the very best of the land. They had a pretty easy life. But there arose another king who did not know Joseph. And this king made their lives hard. He turned them into slaves, forcing them to make bricks by hand and to build for him the store cities of Pithom and Ramesses. Israel had a very hard time indeed, and their groaning came up to the ears of God. All of this, of course, is very moving, Christians. That's why there has been so many movies made about the Exodus. This is all a very moving story, and it's very easy for us to get caught up in it and to think that the reason why God is doing these things for his people is because of pity. Pity for their situation and pity for what they are going through. But there is one detail that often gets overlooked when we think about the Exodus. Israel was indeed groaning under the weight of their slavery, but they were not really groaning after God. Probably a better way to describe it is that they were complaining how difficult their life had become and complaining so that other people would listen to them. They were having a kind of pity party for themselves. And we know this, Christians, because later on in the book of Exodus, we hear the people of Israel complaining to Moses, complaining that they had been taken out of Egypt to a place where there was no food. It would be better for us if we went back, they said, because at least we had something to eat. And we also know this because they had fallen into idolatry during their time in Egypt. Have you ever wondered why it was a golden calf which they made at Mount Sinai? It was because so many of the gods and goddesses of Egypt were depicted as bulls and cows. They had fallen into the worship of the Egyptians. And we are told in the book of Ezekiel later on that God said to the prophet, "They rebelled against me and were not willing to listen to me. None of them cast away the detestable things their eyes feasted on, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt." That was the reality of the people of Israel in Egypt. They were not faithful to the Lord their God. They were not seeking after him the way that they should. So why does God help them then? Why does God do anything for them? Well, listen to what Moses says in the previous chapter, Exodus chapter 2. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God certainly heard their complaining. He knew all of their troubles. But God was moved to act because he remembered his covenant. He was not moved to act because of them, but because of the promise that he had made to their fathers. The promise to Abraham that he would make him the father of many nations. A promise that he repeated for Isaac and for Jacob. Through them would come blessing to all the nations of the earth. Through them would come the Savior of the world. So God was moved to act, Christians, because he is faithful to his promises. He is a God who keeps covenant, a God who never breaks his word. And God will not be made into a liar. And so God prepared to deliver Israel out of Egypt. And to do so, he now looks to a man far away in the land of Midian. Because there in Midian, Christians, we meet Moses, keeping the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. And Moses was wandering in the wilderness and came near Horeb, which is also known as Mount Sinai. But why was Moses here? Why was he here and not back in Egypt with his people? Because Moses had run away. Many years ago, Moses had tried to help a fellow Hebrew man who was being beaten by an Egyptian. And he murdered that Egyptian and tried to hide his body in the sand. But when Pharaoh found out about it, he wanted to kill him. So Moses ran away into the wilderness, far away from Egypt, and ended up in the land of Midian. And things probably were better for him there. I mean, after all, he found a wife and became father to two sons. But Moses still had that blood on his hands. And he describes himself as not being very impressive anyway. A man who was not a man of words, a man who could not speak well. Perhaps his previous experiences had destroyed his confidence. And so now he was content to hide in Midian, content to stay here, away from Egypt, away from his people. But God found Moses out there in the wilderness, and God spoke to Moses out of a fire in the midst of a bush. And God said to Moses, "I have heard the cries of my people, and I have come to deliver them. I have come to bring them out of Egypt and to bring them to the promised land. I have come to take away their burdens. I have come to bring their slavery to an end, because I am the God of their fathers. I am the God of Jacob, of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob." And God says to Moses, verse 10, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." "But why me, God?" Moses says. "Who am I to deliver this people? I'm just one man. How can I possibly, all by myself, bring this great nation out of Egypt? And more than this, God, Pharaoh wants to kill me. I can still remember my sins. I know all the things that I have done wrong. Surely there is someone better than me. Surely there is someone purer than me that you can send instead. And besides this, I'm not eloquent. I'm not a man of words. I can't speak well. I'm just going to mess it up. Better to send someone else, anyone other than me." But God reassures him with a promise. "I will be with you," he says. "I will never leave you or forsake you, because I am steadfast and true, and I keep my promises. And I will give you success. I will bring all of these things to pass. And this is how you will know. I will give you a sign. I will bring you back with the people of Israel to this mountain. You shall serve me here on Mount Sinai. And when that happens, you will know that I have been with you. You will know that I am the Lord." "But they're not going to believe me, God. They're not going to listen to a word I say," Moses says. "They'll think that I'm just making it up. How can I possibly convince them that you have spoken to me? How can I convince them to listen?" And Moses could have also said, "Well, Israel is not faithful to you, God. They're not going to listen to you anyway. They have turned away from you. How can I possibly convince a people who have no interest in you? How will they know that you have sent me?" And in answer to that, God says in verse 14, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." God gives to Moses his name. And if we want to understand why that's so important, Christians, we need only look at the following verse, verse 15. God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." In your Bibles, the Lord is probably all in capital letters. And that's because this is God's proper name. Jehovah, Yahweh, however you want to say it, this is the very name of God. But this is also his covenant name, Christians. This is the name that God has put and attached to his promises. You could take it as God's signature, God's proof that he's going to do these things. It is the proof that he is going to be steadfast to his promises. And with that name attached to them, there is no doubt. God is not going to break his covenant. Even if Israel turns away, God will not break his covenant. And we know this because his name is the Lord. And Christians, God also sends you out into the world. God calls for you to proclaim his gospel to the whole creation. As Jesus himself says, Matthew 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." This is the mission to which he has called his church. And maybe that makes you tremble, the way it did Moses long ago. Maybe it makes you ask, why me? Who am I to speak the words of God? I'm too full of sin. If I said something, I'd feel too much like a hypocrite. There's got to be someone else other than me. And I can't speak all that well anyway. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I'm probably just going to mess it up. Who am I to speak to other people? And besides, who's going to listen? I mean, people don't want anything to do with God these days. They're just going to turn away and not want to hear anything about it. It would be better, Lord, to send someone else. It would be better to let someone else do it other than me. But listen to what Jesus says, Christians. "Behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Just like Moses, God makes you a promise. He will never leave you or forsake you. And he has given you the promise of the Holy Spirit speaking within you. He has promised to give you the very words to say. And even if you suffer because of it, Christians, God is still with you, because no one can take you out of his hand. So why then should we fear? God is with you, and God will work through you. If God was with Moses to bring Israel out of Egypt, he will also be with you as you proclaim the gospel of his Son. And above all, Christians, he has given you his name, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is his greatest covenant name. That is his most serious signature. With that name, we can know that he is serious about his promises. In that name, you were baptized. With that name, you can speak the truth of the gospel. Through that name, you can carry out the work that is given to you, so that there is no reason to worry or to fret. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will always be with you, because he never breaks the promises that he has made to you through his Son. Therefore, Christians, go out boldly. speak to all of Jesus Christ. Carry out the work that has been given to you, because he is with you. He has promised to never leave you or forsake you. And he has signed that promise with his own name. And in the power of that promise, you can do what he calls for you to do. Let us pray. Heavenly Master, whose word is unbreakable and who keeps covenant forever, give to us, your servants, boldness to speak your word, so that many may come to know you by faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. In his name we pray. Amen.